Yes, so we are going to cover, Mr. Hashem, we'll see how much of kashering we could cover in this session, and if there is any leftover, we'll do the next session. First, a couple of principles about kashering, and then we get into the practicals. Anytime you need to deal with kashering means getting the chametz that has entered the walls of your containers to get them out. So before a person can deal with kashering, a person has to clean. That means if you want to kasher a fork that became taref, or it's chametz fork, you want to make it kasher lepesach, you first have to make sure there is nothing mamashut, no substance of food stuck on it. So anytime before kashering, you have to clean what is on the surface of whatever it is that you're kashering. Kashering means going into the surface, beneath the surface, into the walls of whatever it is that you're kashering to kasher that. So every time you talk about kashering, the first step is to clean. Cleaning means to get rid of all the mamashut, all the actual physical substance that is sitting on the keli. So this is something to keep in mind when we talk about kashering. Another principle about kashering is that for Sephardim, at least Ashkenazim for Pesach follow a different rule, but for Sephardim, any way that a container is usually used, that is the way it will be kashered. So if it is a pot that goes on the fire to cook food in it, the way to kasher it is dipping it into the pot that is on the fire, into the hot water in a pot that's on the fire. If it is something that generally doesn't go on the fire, let's say a serving dish, that serving dish does not have to be dipped. It could be, but doesn't have to be dipped into the pot that's on the fire, because that serving dish never goes on the fire. But the same way that you dish out food from the pot onto that, the same way when you want to kosher it, you could pour water from a pot onto that. If it is something that's never used in any hot situation, or not never, majority of the use is not in hot situation, it is generally used in a cooler temperature, so then koshering it also does not have to be in a hot situation. It could be koshered with cool water. What is hot? What is cool? When it comes to these things, hot is yad soledet bo, which is somewhere about 120, 130 degrees Fahrenheit. And the person's hand, when you touch it, it burns a little bit, so you pull back. That's called yad soledet bo. That's called hot. So therefore, silver kiddush cups that are used for kiddush or for schnapps at the table or for any of these things do not have to be dipped into hot water. Ashkenazim do dip it for Pesach because, as I mentioned, they follow a different chumrah. Those things could just be washed well with soapy water to make sure no chametz stuck on it. And that's it. You know, it never came in contact with chametz in hot situation, and therefore kashering it does not need hot water. Okay, another principle regarding kashering is, which is something that you're going to deal with soon, is that generally, when a person wants to kasher something, it's better to wait 24 hours after the last usage of treif or chametz. It's better. We're going to talk about that practically soon, when you do it, when you don't do it. Generally speaking, it is better that it should wait. So let's say you have a fork. It was a fleshig fork that by mistake you stuck into a milchik, pot of macaroni and cheese that was cooking on the fire, or a milchik spoon or a fork that by mistake you stuck into a hot piece of chicken. So before you kosher that, it's better to wait 24 hours after when this happened, and then kosher it. This way, the taste that was absorbed into the fork or the spoon overnight becomes pagum. The taste becomes bad, and then you could kosher it, And again, we're going to talk about that practically, what it means when it comes to kashering your stuff for Pesach. Okay, so going through different things in the kitchen and how they should be kashered. Starting with the refrigerator, as we said before, anything that doesn't come in contact with hot, you don't have to pour any hot water on it. Therefore, the refrigerator, all one needs to do is to wash it well with soapy water. You take off all the pieces, all the racks, all the attachments, and you soak them into soapy water, and you wash them. Therefore, kashering your refrigerator, the only thing that it entails is cleaning it, getting rid of any pieces of chametz that could be stuck on the surface. Once you clean it, you remember we said, anytime you kasher, first you have to clean before you kasher. A refrigerator does not need kashering. It just needs cleaning. That's all you need to do. So you have to take out all the pieces and wash them, the walls, and all the attachments. You soak them into soapy water. This way, if there is any chametz stuck on it, warm soapy water, if there's any chametz stuck on it, would come off. Anything that you could scrape off. That's all you need to do for your refrigerators. Now, there are refrigerators that the rack, nowadays that's how it is, that the racks are glass, and they have a plastic edge by the shelf that holds the glass. And sometimes when food spills on it, it seeps into the cracks between the plastic edges and the glass surface of the shelf. You do the best that you can. You know, you don't have to detach the plastic from the shelf because then you're going to have to throw it away. So you don't have to do that. So the best thing that, you know, you do the best that you can. What's the best thing that you could? You could take a toothpick or a toothbrush and scrub the edges between the plastic and the glass, right? That's as far as you can go. More than that, you don't have to do anything that's already seeped into it. It doesn't come in contact with your food anyway. Has no problem. Everything is nice and good. You do not have to line your refrigerator. You don't have to put aluminum foil or plastic or anything on the shelves. Once you clean the shelves, they're good to go. No problem. The same thing applies to your freezer. You take everything out and you detach all the attachments that usually shelves and stuff that come up. You wash them and you wash the inside of your wipe, the inside of your freezer. That takes care of the freezer. There are recently some chumras came out that you line the handle of your refrigerator. You line it, you cover it up with aluminum foil or something. They even advertise it, these attachments that go as a cover for your handle. The reason they do that is because that is, you know, a lot of times people, they have chametz hand. They're being eating a sandwich or something and you touch the handle to open the door and close it. So you might not clean it well. And there might be mamashut of chametz there. Do you have to cover it? You don't have to cover it. Should you clean it? Yes, you should clean it. And an important part of the refrigerator and the freezer that has to be cleaned and people ignore it are the gaskets around the door. Gaskets are the plastics that are stuck to the door on the side that when you close the door, they seal off between the door and the wall of the refrigerator so the cool air doesn't come off. It's a pressable, squeezable plastic that goes around the door. So it has folds. It's like accordion folds on the edge, and sometimes chametz gets caught in there. So especially in the freezer when people keep bread and cookies and stuff could get caught in the gasket. So you have to use a wet cloth to rub in the folds of the gasket to make sure there's no chametz caught in there. And then once you do that and you close your refrigerator, yes, you need to use some kind of a toothbrush or a good cloth, nice warm soapy cloth to clean the handle of the refrigerator to make sure no chametz is stuck on it. If you do a good, nice, clean job, you don't have to cover it with anything. That's good enough. That is in terms of refrigerator and the freezer. So all you need to do is a nice, clean job. If you do a nice, good, clean job, you're okay. I had mentioned this before. I'm probably going to have to mention it again in later shiurim. If you have a freezer that you have chametz in there and you're selling that chametz to the goy, and that chametz belongs to the goy, so if you have a special freezer or extra freezer that you don't want to clean for Pesach and it's all chametzdik and everything chametz could be sold to the goy, you could just close that freezer and sell it to the goy, no problem. That freezer with all the chametz that's in it, it could be sold to the goy. It would make it easier on the wife, on the mother, on the lady of the house she doesn't have to clean that freezer. It is recommended, though, that it's better to go through the freezer. At least you know what you have in there if you want to sell it, and clean it out. But you don't really have to do that. Just like all the other areas of chametz that you sell, that freezer could be included in the sale. If you clean all your freezers and your refrigerators, you clean them for Pesach, and you use them for Pesach, but there are some chametz stuff that's going to remain in the freezer or in the refrigerator that's going to be the goy's chametz that you're selling, that chametz has to be put into a box or a bag and sealed and labeled chametz, and then you could put it in the back or the bottom of some shelf of the freezer. That's the goy's department of the freezer, not yours. And if things get spoiled, it's the goy's chametz that got spoiled, not yours. Therefore, that area could, even though you clean your refrigerator freezer, that area could be sealed off as the goy's department. Okay. The other things that would be the opposite of the refrigerator is the stove and the oven. Now you have different kinds of stoves and ovens, and therefore you need to know how each one gets kosher. Ovens are two types. You have ovens that are self-cleaning ovens, and you have ovens that are not self-cleaning ovens. The self-cleaning ovens, all that needs to be done is you put it on the self-cleaning, it cleans itself, and it koshers itself. And therefore, the oven is fine. You have to keep in mind that no matter what you do to your oven to kosher it, you should not put matzah directly inside the oven. Everything that goes in the oven should go in containers. What happens if you want to make your matzah more crispy? What happens if you have these soft matzahs and you want to freshen them up and you want to toast them inside your oven? You should not put them directly on the rack, because no matter what you do to your oven, it would not kosher it enough for the matzah to go, for the food to go on it directly. So any food that goes inside your oven should not be directly put on the racks. It should go, if you want to toast your matzah, put a layer of aluminum foil on the racks and put the matzah on the aluminum foil. Or put a cookie sheet, what they call it, baking sheet inside the oven and put the matzah on that. Any food that you want to cook goes in with the container, right? I don't get into the details of why, because that's become tedious for everybody, but keep that in mind. When you kosher your ovens for Pesach, it makes it kosher to be used for Pesach, but not directly to put food on it directly. So everything goes in should go inside the container. Okay, so if the oven is self-cleaning oven, you put it on a self-cleaning and it will take care of it. The self-cleaning usually does not clean inside of the door. Inside of the door still remains with some stuff stuck on it, and those stuff should be scraped off, scratched off, or cleaned off, preferably before self-cleaning, with some kind of they have oven stones, if you know what that is. There are like little stones that you could, that is safe to use for scraping the ovens. Like an eraser you put, use for your erasing pens. They have oven stones that erases, cleans the oven. You could use that, or you could use something else to wash the walls, to wash the door, inside of the door, to clean it out. You have to keep in mind, there's a gasket that goes around the door of the oven, that when you close the door of the oven, it closes it. That gasket should not get wet. If you wash it, if you soak it, to clean it, it would ruin it. And then Erev Pesach, or 3 days before Pesach, you have to start calling people to come and fix your oven for you. So you don't want that gasket to get wet. All you need to do is you get a wet cloth or wet sponge or wet something, scraper, to scrape the chametz out of the walls, the inside of the door of the oven. Then you close the door, you close the oven, put it under self-cleaning, and it would clean it, and no problem. After you do self-cleaning, if there is anything left inside the oven, there are some black stuff or white stuff that are still left inside of the oven, that is fine. That, even if it's chametz, even if it was actual dough, it is completely burnt, and it's mutar to use the oven, even though you have those stuff on it, because they're completely burnt and blackened, and there's nothing, it wouldn't have any problem. The ovens that are not self-cleaning, before you clean it, before you kosher it, you have to clean it. So therefore, you have to manually clean it. There are oven cleaners, oven sprays that you could buy. You spray inside the oven, you let it sit for a couple hours, and then you take a bucket and a sponge, and you wash down the walls of the oven, you make it all nice and clean. That would clean the oven. Once the oven is clean, and you did a good job cleaning it, all the walls and the racks, then you could put it on the highest degree temperature, which is usually the broil, for about 45 minutes to an hour, and then beyond, that would kosher it. So a self-cleaning oven, you could clean it and kosher it in one shot when you put it on self-cleaning, but if it's not self-cleaning, you have to clean it yourself. After you clean it, you turn it on the highest temperature, let it be on like that for 45 minutes to an hour, and that would kosher that. The racks usually have stuff stuck on it, so when you do cleaning on it, it's better to make sure you do a good job cleaning. You pull the racks out, put it in your sink, and when you spray it, after you spray it, you put it in your sink and you scrub it. And between the racks, there might be some food got caught in the corners and something. You clean those, and then you put it in the oven and you turn it on. When you use an oven spray inside the oven, you have to be careful not to spray it on the lighter. The lighting element part of the oven, usually is electrical nowadays. When you turn on the oven, it goes on and it becomes red hot, and then it turns on the oven. If you spray on it, oven cleaner, next time you turn on the oven, that lighter would pop. And then you're going to have to call a mechanic to come and fix your oven. So be careful not to spray the oven cleaner on the lighter part. Otherwise, you spray it all over, and then the cracks and the corners and everything, you got to do a nice, good cleaning job. So that is in terms of the inside of the oven. There are ovens that have broiler. That means there are two compartments. There is the oven and the broiler is under. Broiler also could be koshered the same way. That means you clean it and when you turn it on, it will kosher the broiler. But the broiler tray, there's a tray that if you want to make hamburgers inside your oven, you put your hamburgers on it and it has a tray under it, and it would drip, and it would catch. The broiler tray cannot be, if you used it for any chametz, it cannot be kashered for Pesach. So the tray cannot be kashered for Pesach. But if you want to kasher the broiler part, you could kasher it, the same way you kasher the oven. Then if you want to make barbecue or something inside your oven, you need to get aluminum foil, or a new tray or something, and you put it in there. You cannot kosher the tray because the tray needs to go through a much bigger process of koshering, which would ruin the tray. So therefore, it cannot be koshered. There are ovens that have a compartment next to them called warmers that sometimes it reaches Yad Soledet Bo, or sometimes it doesn't reach Yad Soledet Bo. If generally that warmer area does not become very hot, that you can't touch it, all you have to do is to clean it, and that would be good enough. If the area of the oven that's inside, it reaches a temperature that becomes hot, so in that situation, you have to clean it, as I said before, you always have to clean it. And you turn it on, the oven, on whatever, however it became, treif, it could become kosher. There is one more problem with the warmer that I'm going to talk about very soon as we're going to talk about other areas. I'll talk about that too. The top of the oven, the place that you put your pots on, it's called stoves. Stovetop also come in different form. There is gas stovetop, there's electrical stovetop, and then there are those that are like glass stovetop. So the gas stovetops, you have these burners that the flame comes out of it, right? So what you need to do on that is they have burners that flame comes out, and then they have racks, or it's called tripods, or it's called the grates that sits on top of that. Those grates have to be kosher. They have to be cleaned because they really get very filthy. So you need to do a good job cleaning them, and then you have to kosher them. There are two ways to kosher them. You could either put it inside the oven if you have self-cleaning. And when the oven does self-cleaning, it could also clean and kosher those racks. Except that after you do that, those racks will be discolored. It's up to you. There's a coating on it that would get burnt, and it would get discolored. So if you don't want it to get discolored, you don't do it that way. If you don't care, you could do it that way. It won't ruin it, but it will only make it discolored. So if you don't want it to get discolored, you could wash it well, spray it with oven cleaner, the way I said it before, and clean it well, and then you could pour hot water on it. Just put it somewhere and bring a pot of hot water to boil on what? On a different stove. And then pour on it, you know, like you kosher it, and that will kosher it. If you don't want to put it inside your oven. Otherwise, you could put it inside your oven and kosher it like that. There is another option that you have is if you don't want to pour hot water on it, and you don't want to put it in the self-cleaning process, you could clean it the way you want to clean it with oven spray and all that. Clean it and then put it inside your oven after you koshered your oven. Put it inside your oven and turn your oven on the broil, the highest temperature for 45 minutes to an hour. And that would take care of the racks. This way the racks will not be discolored because they don't go through self-cleaning, which really makes it very, very hot and could damage the coating. It would kosher it, but it would not discolor it. So you could do that. You could clean it first and then put it in. After your oven is koshered, you could put it in and let the oven be on for 45 minutes to an hour on highest temperature. It would take care of the grates. The place that the flame comes out from, you don't have to do anything to it. All you have to do, even though Ovadia says that you should pour hot water on it, but Lemaise, you don't need to do that. I don't know exactly what Ovadia, those days, what he was talking about. But Lemaise said, no food comes in contact with it. There is nothing that touches it. Makes no difference. All you have to do is to clean it. You could spray it with, you know, cleaning detergent, whatever it is that ladies know what to use. They spray it, and you clean it, and that's all you have to do. If you want to do something better, you could just turn it on, let it stay on, you know, for some time. But it doesn't need any koshering, so you don't have to pour hot water on it. The surface of the stovetop, surface is, you know, you have these grates or tripods that we said, that you put it there, and you put the pots on top. Not that. The actual surface, the bottom of the stovetop, needs to be koshered. Because things would come in contact with it. Sometimes spoons touch it. Sometimes, you know, the spatula or something falls on it. Definitely food spills on it all the time. You know, you boil a pot of macaroni and spills over. That water is mamash chametz and it pours right onto that surface. So that surface is chametz. It could most probably is treif because probably fleshik stuff splashed on it and milchik stuff splashed on it. And the only way to kosher it is by pouring hot water on it. Now, it's not so easy to pour hot water on that surface because it just makes a mess. And it could seep into the oven, stove, and all that. Might not be so easy to pour hot water on it. So the best thing to do is to clean it well, a very good job cleaning it, and then you cover it with aluminum foil. You know, a couple of layers of aluminum foil, you cover that surface top, and then you cut out the area where the burners are there for it to be open. You cut out the aluminum foil. So you basically, you line the top of your stove with aluminum foil, a couple of layers, heavy duty aluminum foil, and therefore you're okay. And the burners are just exposed, that they're open, that the flame comes out, and that's it. And then you degrade, you kosher. Everything is fine. Right? So that's the best way to do with the surface. The same thing applies to electrical top. Electrical top, instead of the burners having flame coming out of it, they have this spiral metal that lights up and becomes red hot. So it's the same thing. The grades, if there are grades there, some usually don't have grades. If there are grades there, you have to kosher them, the same way we said before. The surface top should be covered, as we said before. The area where it gets red hot, all you have to do is turn it on and let it get red hot. That will kosher it. Right? Even if the pots actually sit on that area that gets red hot, all you have to do is to turn it on and let it get red hot. That would clean it, that would kosher it, that would burn it, that would make it all nice and good. That is for the electrical top. An area that you need to keep in mind when it comes to the top of the oven is you have to know that the stoves and the oven has a vent that comes out right on top of the stove. You're not going to see it because it's usually under the back panel of the stove, but there's a vent. If you look, there's an opening that the steam or heat comes out and the oven is on. You want to make sure if you put aluminum foil on the surface of the stove, you don't want to cover that vent because that vent has to be open for the heat of the oven to come out normally. So you have to poke holes and let the heat come out of that vent. That vent gets koshered. When you kosher the oven, that vent automatically also gets koshered. Okay. Another area about the stove that you have to be very careful about are the knobs. The knobs are usually full of chametz because people touch it with chametz hand, food spills on it, gets into it. If the knobs could be pulled out and soaked into soapy water nicely and you wash it well, you make sure you wash it well. You do not have to put it inside the oven to kosher them because they will melt and then your mother is going to have a problem with you. So all you have to do, if you could pull it off and wash it well with some kind of a toothbrush and soapy water, that's a good idea. If you can't, if they don't detach, you just have to spray it well, let the spray soak anything that's stuck on it, and do a good job cleaning it, and that would be good. Do you have to cover it? You don't need to. If you feel that you didn't do a good job on it, and you want to use aluminum foil, just cover the knob. You can do that if you want, but you don't really need to do that. Otherwise, the stove has a lot of cracks around it, you know, and the food, your chametz food could get caught around the walls, around any area. You could use a toothbrush or a toothpick to clean out those areas. That is for the stovetop. Okay, so we covered the oven and the stovetop. There is one more type of stovetop that has recently come out, which is recently means the past number of years. It's a glass top. That the top of the stove is completely glass. For Sephardim, you don't have to do anything to that top. All you have to do is clean it. So however it's nicely cleaned, I'm sure they have their cleaning agents and stuff that you could spray on it and clean it and make sure if there are cracks on the side where the surface meets the edge of the stove, to use a toothbrush or a toothpick to clean by that glass. As long as that glass is clean, that is kosher, because for Sephardim, glass is not boleya, and therefore it's not a problem. So once you clean it, if any lady does not feel that the stovetop, glass top, is kosher enough, all they have to do is to turn on all the burners, you know, put a couple pots on it, or whatever it is, or just turn on the burners, and that would just make the surface hot, and that would kosher it. you know, for them. But you don't even have to do that. All you have to do is to clean it. Once you clean it, that surface is considered kosher. Okay, that is the stovetop and the oven. I need to tell you one more area, and this way it would cover the warmers of the oven too once I mentioned it, because I want it to be all in one shiur. And that is like this. Your countertops have to be, Shulchan Aruch says the countertops and the tables, you need to pour hot water on it. That's the Shulchan Aruch. Why? Because sometimes food spills on it, and therefore you need to pour hot water on it. Now, some countertops get messed up when you pour hot water on it. There are different kinds of countertops. You have metal countertops, you have granite countertops, and you have formica, wood countertops. Some of these countertops, when you pour hot water on it, gets it messed up, or lady doesn't want to pour all that hot water all over the kitchen, it's going to make a mess. So the countertops need to be koshered. The koshering it is either by pouring hot water, as I said, or you clean them and you cover them. What do you cover them? There are different stuff that you could buy to cover your countertops without damaging them. You could go to Home Depot and find stuff. What do I use? I use linoleum that is usually used for covering the floor. It comes in a roll. You buy at Home Depot a roll of linoleum, which is these floorings. That's a plastic, very soft plastic, thick plastic. You could cut it with a carpet cutter into the size, and you could make a hole for the sink and just put it on top. It sits there, no problem. Or use your imagination how else you could cover the countertops. But the countertops need to be koshered or covered. You could use aluminum foil to cover it. A couple layers of aluminum foil would cover it, and that would be fine. All over it will be covered, taped with a couple layers of aluminum foil, and that would be good. There is another way of koshering the countertops. If you have, those who have steamers, steamers are the things that produce hot steam coming out of it. A lot of hotels that they kosher their, you know, when they kosher hotels either for Pesach or for caterings, they use these steamers. It's a machine that produces a lot of steam, and the steam comes out of it, and they use it for koshering. That steamer, it's a big shaila whether it does koshering. It does a good koshering job or not. Therefore, we do not use it for our anything that could be koshered, pots and pans and stuff that you could kosher by putting it into hot water and stuff. We don't usually use that for. But for the countertops and your sink, you definitely could use steamer. And you could use the steamer for inside of the warmer department of your oven. Because the warmer department of your oven also has the same halacha as the countertops. If it doesn't reach yet solidet, but if it doesn't get very hot, it still has the din of shulchanot, the tables that Shulchan Aruch is talking about, like the countertops. So you either have to pour hot water in it, either you have to line it with aluminum foil, or you have to pour hot water on it, or if you can't do because it's going to make a mess, use a steamer inside the warmer area, warm of the oven. Now, when you use a steamer, the way to use it is you have to hold the steamer by every spot long enough that spot gets hot. So steam touches it long enough that if after you remove the steamer and you touch the spot, it will burn your hand. So you can't just use a steamer, you know, just go up and down like your paintbrush, like you're painting. That's not the way it's not going to do. That's not going to do. You have to keep the steamer by every spot till that spot gets hot. And then you slowly, you know, systematically move up and down all the areas to cover that. If that you could use without damaging your countertops, and this way you could kosher it, this way you don't have to cover it. So for the countertops, you could either pour hot water on it, or you could cover it, or you could use a steamer properly to steam it, and that would kosher it. That's for the countertops. But whichever way you do, you have to first clean the countertops. Don't forget, every time you kosher anything, before that you have to clean it well to make sure no chametz is stuck on it. So that's the countertop. Sinks is the same thing. It's better though to pour hot water on the sink because that would cover all the areas, you know, and doesn't usually make a mess and doesn't mess up the sink. Doesn't matter what kind of sink you have, whether it's metal sink or porcelain or it's coated sink, doesn't matter. Granite sinks, any kind of sinks that you have, you could pour hot water on it from a boiling pot all over it, including the faucet. That means when you pour hot water on it, you pour hot water on the faucet too. The knobs and the faucet, all of that, because when you strain macaroni, steams and the splash of the hot water gets all over everything. So everything has to be kosher. So the faucet, the spout of the faucet, the knobs, and the sink, you could pour hot water on it. You could put towels on the side of the sink, so when you pour hot water on it, it shouldn't get all over the countertops. And then use a big pot of hot water to pour. Just be careful when you pour it; it shouldn't burn your hand. But the water has to touch all the area of the sink. You can't pour it on one place and let the water roll. You need to move your hands with the pot all over the sink and all over the faucet. The water would actually pour on the sink. Again, before you kosher your sink, you need to clean it, scrub it, make sure no food is stuck on it. Okay, so that covers the stovetop, the sink, the countertops, and the oven and the refrigerator. And Bezal Hashem will cover the rest of the stuff in next year.
It has to be dry.
It's better that when you kosher, you pour hot water on the sink and the countertop. If you pour hot water, it's better that it should be dried. So use a towel to dry it. This way you make sure there's no cold water there because the cold water could cool off the hot water. It's better to dry it up first and then you pour hot water on it. And then, okay. At the haraba.
When you put the stovetops inside the oven has to be kosher for Pesach, or what do you do first?
Now, yeah, you kosher your oven first for Pesach, and then you take the grates that you cleaned already. It's already clean. You put inside, and you turn it on for whatever, you know, for the highest temperature for 45 minutes to an hour.
So after that, you have to kosher the oven.
You don't have to kosher that anymore, no.
And if you put the on the stovetop with the aluminium, do you still need to kosher it, or you just put either way?
The stovetop itself, the surface. No, you don't have to kosher it.
It's either or.
Either or. Either you kosher it if you can. Usually you can because it makes a mess. So you just cover it with aluminium foil, and that's good enough.
If you always use tablecloth, you need to kosher the table.
No. The minhag nowadays by our table is that you do not pour hot water on the table. The Shulchan Aruch's table, the tables that Shulchan Aruch is talking about, are they like the countertops that are used without tablecloth. Our tables usually have tablecloth, and therefore you don't have to kosher them. If there are tables, let's say islands of the kitchen islands, that's granite top, and people sit by it and they eat by it, like a table, and usually they don't cover it, that you have to kosher, either by pouring hot water on it, or by steaming it, or by covering it. For Pesach, get tablecloth and cover it with tablecloth. Right? Or cover it with aluminum foil, or whatever it is.
If you use the same tablecloth, you have to kosher it. Is there a way to kosher the same?
So if you use cloth tablecloth, we'll talk about that later. Cloth tablecloth, all you have to do is wash it in a washing machine. That would do it. If you use plastic tablecloth, you should get a Pesach one. It's hard to kosher it or clean it or any of that. Mm-hmm. Just get a plastic tablecloth for Pesach.
If you don't cook at home, or you're at home, right? But you never eat at home, you have to do all of the kosher.
No. Any area that you're not going to use, you just have to label it. That's not Pesach. You have to close it off. Right? Then you know they're not going to come to use it, because by mistake you might come to use it. Mm-hmm. But if you're not going to use it, just label or block it off or label it that it's not kosher, then it's fine.
The porcelain sinks, Ashkenazim don't kosher?
Ashkenazim don't kosher it, no.
But it's fine?
Huh?
You say it's fine?
Yeah, for Sephardim it's fine. Nobody is making that.
Have you said that even if you kosher up and you start to, when you want to put some onto the grate,
you still have to put something under it, or you have to put it in a container, which one?
Either one. Meaning the food should not, in the oven, after you kosher the oven, the food still should not directly touch the racks of the oven. No, you know, like your toaster, you put a piece of pizza in the toaster on the rack. Right? So I'm going to talk about toasters for Pesach. Next session. Yeah, that's right. Don't use your oven like a toaster that you put something right straight on the racks. Because of the details.
You have to blowtorch that if you did it?
Huh?
Would it need blowtorching? Or that's
if you want to do that, then you should blowtorch your oven. Yeah, that's right. It's going to ruin it. So it's better not to do it.
But any pots or pans or anything you put in the oven, if it's wet and touches it,
no problem.
It won't make the pot.
No problem. No problem. Once your oven is kosher, everything, even if you put the pot with the water and all that, everything is fine.
So just the food direct.
The only thing is you should not chatchila put the food. Even if you put matzah directly on the rack, the matzah is still kosher. Let's say you koshered your oven, right? You koshered it, and we said that you should not put, let's say, matzah directly on the racks. Let's say by mistake you did, one of the kids in the house did that. The matzah is still kosher. You could eat it. No problem. It's only lechatechila that you should not use your oven by putting food directly on the racks, even after you kosher it. Mm-hmm.
So now, practically speaking, you have a sink, right? So I followed a big pot of water. So I do one side of the wall, other side of the wall, other side of the wall, other side of the wall. I have to dry off every side.
No. It's still hot. I mean, we talked about that you're drying is when you have cold water sitting there. Mm-hmm. Those stuff are still hot. You could
and
just
then,
go all over.
How does Rebbe get underneath the faucet?
You don't get under the faucet. When you pour hot water on it, the hot water touches everything. Just goes
like
over it. No, you don't have to splash it on. You're going to splash on your face. No one do that. Please, don't do that.
And then,
even if you had Salam member, you cannot do that. Okay? You just pour water right. The water automatically covers it. You have a nice, good splash of water.
So you have a huge countertop this big. Right? So literally just pour it and then...
Yeah, you just go.
And then just put towels everywhere to...
That's right. Prevent. You block it off with the towel and then... Area by area, you
put the freezer. It has to be locked up like with a lock or something.
No. You do it in a way that the thing with the lock is the idea. That's right. The idea of lock is that by mistake come and do it. We're not choshesh that be kavana you're going to come and do it, right? So by mistake you should not come and touch it. So therefore, if you put it in the box and write on it red letters. Chametz.
Right, and same for the kids. So you have to like put tapes. So
put tapes on it. That's right. It should not be easily accessible. By mistake, they might come and do it.
Right. Yeah. This question I have is with this issue.